Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here with Street Talk Theology, where we take theology and bring it to the streets. Give me a shout out, Pastor Grimaldi at Gmail. Well, I promised I'd bring back Cambry Geller, who is a student of mine in Lagos Christian Academy. Her dad's with us here, too, and we'll try to, I'm sure, Mr. Jeremy will give a shout out before the show's over. But, you know, I wanted you guys to just get introduced to Cambry a little bit about her family background and her schooling and, you know, some of her personal things that she mentioned, some of the bullying that went on early in her life and things of that nature. We kind of touched the surface on those things. But I remember when I spoke to Cambry about coming on the show, one of the things that what she really wanted to talk about was foster care. But before we get into that, Cambry, say hello to the audience. You know, let them know anything you want in your introductory segment.
Hi. My name is Cambry Geller, as you already know, and I will be talking about my foster care journey that started whenever I was in third grade.
So, Cambry, I have a picture on, like I said, on my refrigerator of the family, and you talk about maybe the Brady Bunch, however you want to call it. I mean, there's a lot of children there, but Cambry, this is your heart for some reason. So I'm going to just turn the mic over to you. When we talk about foster care, give me a synopsis of what that is in the family dynamic for you, and why do you love it, and some of the challenges that there are, if I may.
Yeah. So foster care is basically a system where kids who have parents that are currently not able to have them, it is where these kids go. Now, there's something called foster families, and these families, they take in these kids until their parents are either able to gain back the child, or the parents, sadly, will no longer have rights to the child. And at that point, the child goes up for the adoption, and then it becomes adoption. So our family started doing foster care when I was in third grade. I think we just got our five-year certificate, right? Yes. And so we've been doing it for 5 years. Some of the amazing things about it is how much it changed my heart. I think going into it, you don't realize how blessed you are until you see what these kids come in with. I've had siblings that just came in with the shoes on their feet and the clothes on their back. And that's all I had. Meanwhile, I had a whole room full of everything I needed. I never once missed a meal. And I think one of the other like really cool things about it is whenever there's a kid struggling, I no longer see a bad kid. I see a kid who may not have a strong family foundation, who may not learn or may not even know what's right or wrong because of his family situation. And I think some of the challenges for me anyway is loving the biological families. I've really struggled with that, you know, and it really took one of my foster brothers right now, which call them brothers because that's what they are. His mom came over for Christmas, and that really changed my whole perspective because she was just awesome. And I never thought I would say that. And because I think I grew this stigma in my mind. How could I love these people who let this happen to their kids? How could I love these people? But really, I just put it on my heart like, no, you love them because you're just as bad. And I think that like, it was just that that's one of the challenges. And I think another challenge is sometimes the public perception. People get like, you got another one? It's like, no, we're just helping out another kid. And I think it's just a huge thing.
So what about, and I don't know, is there any racial barriers in there? Any, do you have any African-American brothers or sisters? Or and is there any issue with that culturally or any challenges there?
So I have five African-American siblings. And whenever we're in public, sometimes people will give this weird look, you know, and it's like, just let them stare. It's fine. But within the system, or like some of the kids that we've taken in who are African-American, their families really struggle to love us or to love us because we're white or Caucasian or whatever you want to call it. And with even within the system, they really want to keep children with their own quote unquote race. And I think it just breaks my heart because I look at my brother who is African-American and all I see is a brother. I don't see anything more than that. And even some of my own siblings, they're actually struggling with that right now because of how much the world's influence on race is just crashing down. And it really just breaks my heart to see that.
You know, I really wish this was on TV because I can see Jeremy in the background. That was really hurting him as his daughter was talking about that. And sometimes, you know, when we have these perceptions and we're looked at, instead of looked at as created in God's image, we have to separate a color of someone's skin. And I seen Cambry's dad, I mean, just a grimace on his face when Cambry was talking about that. And those are sad things. It's the world we live in. And I can see where dad there was almost grimacing and not grimacing when sadness as you were talking about that. So two questions. You know, Italians love food. So now when you get like foster children, you know, are they used to different foods? I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to pick stuff off because, you know, I'm Italian. So I Cambry will tell you, always kind of try to talk about food, even when we're in class. But is there any challenges there?
Well, our kids, whenever they come to us, all they want is chips. I'm dead serious.
You have to see Jeremy. Jeremy's going like this. What?
They will only eat chips. And they love chips.
And more chips.
So that's something that, you know, we have to work on. It's like, we'll have some salad tonight. No. You know, just like a lot of that.
The other challenge I see, and maybe you guys can help me on this, like now foster children are not ones, you know, those are not adopted children, obviously. Foster children go back eventually, or they do. So explain that to the, I mean, so obviously you've had foster children that actually you had to give back, right? At times, are there some, so how is that hard? I mean, I think fostering would be harder than adopting because, you know, with the adoption, you have them, right? But fostering, there's probably a more chance than not you have to give them back, right? And you learn to love them and then have to kind of give them back. Is that a challenge or is that hard? Or
I mean, it's very, very challenging because whenever those kids leave, they're your siblings. They're not just some random kid off the street. They are your brothers or they are your sisters. And foster care does bring a lot of heartache some days. And some days it just feels like this fight and you're just fighting for the best interests of this kid because sometimes the DCS system doesn't do that. Now, DCS is Department of Child Safety. And I think it does bring a lot of heartache, but it's also really cool whenever my mom has been able to have a relationship with one of the biological families. And we were actually able to take him to a Christmas party one time, you know, and it's really cool to just see the progression in that kid. And you may have been the only Jesus they're ever going to see in their life. Mm. You may have been the only little influence they're going to have, but who knows what that could do in the long run. And I think that's the way I see it because it's so hard.
Is this something maybe that you, I know you were talking about working with underprivileged children, or what was that thing you mentioned last week?
Special education.
Do you want to also do maybe something with foster children as far as your own self or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think whenever I'm older, I definitely want to do foster care. You know, like I really, it's something the Lord has really just pressed on my heart, you know, and like even whenever I'm just considering doing like a program where it's really targeted at teens who are aging out of foster care because they get no support and they're 18 years old and don't have a parent or don't have someone to teach them these basic life skills. And so I think I definitely want to do something that benefits that particular thing. And a lot of kids in my house, they have special needs because whenever they get trauma, a lot of them end up with PTSD and all these different things. And so it really just shows you the needs of the different needs of society and just different needs in your community.
So what about when dad for the first time or mom came up to you and said, and I don't know if this happened, I'm just taking a stab, that said, you know, Cambry, or that you were going to get foster children or adopted children. I mean, did there come a time that that conversation happened? Do you remember? Or?
Yes, I remember whenever we got our first call. It was for two kids, D and Q. And man, I was so excited. I was like, yes, I'm going to have two more brothers. One of them was six, I want to say, and the other was three. And so I just remember that cheer moment of like, yes, siblings, yes. I was very happy.
Now, how many biological sisters and brothers do you have?
I have four biological siblings.
And the rest, obviously, foster. If families are, say, looking to foster, looking to adopt, what are some of the challenges that the families would face? And are there some of these children, they probably come with challenges, right? Because they probably, sometimes they bounce around to different families or?
It depends on the kid, but we've had a lot of kids that we've adopted and or have fostered that have come from a group home. And so a group home is basically a large gathering of kids that no one really wants. And so one time we actually picked up my brother from a group home. And it was, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a little bit.
Go off.
It was sad because it's literally like a pound, but for kids. And all these kids were coming up to me and I think I was only nine, but I still remember it just because all these kids that are coming up, are you going to take me home? Are you going to take me home? And like these kids, they have so many needs that aren't met. And it's sad to see.
Yeah, that's a hard thing. Do you actually go there and when you're allowed to foster, you go there and actually pick the child or speak to the child, interview the child? How's that process work?
So actually, we have something. So whenever you get licensed, you get licensed through someone. And so this person, they're like your advocate for the foster care system. And so that's how we've gotten a lot of our placements is this person will call, hey, we just got a kid at a placement center. Now, a placement center is a place where once kids are removed, that's where they would go. And our recent placement, he and his sister were in the group home for a week. I mean, not a week, the placement center for a week. And the placement center is literally a DCS office, just like this. And these kids lived there for a week. And so we'll either get a call from the DCS placement center. And what happens is as you get more involved in foster care, you get more people's numbers. And that's how we found my brother Z, because we just got a call and we went to a group home and we took him on a few dates and we were like, yeah, let's do it. So
what do you mean a few dates? I mean, that's a little.
So a few dates is like, I remember my mom took us to Genghis. So it's Genghis Grill. And I just remember like being so happy that she took us to Genghis. And then we took him home for a weekend. That was challenging just because he had some challenges based on his trauma that I've never seen before.
Hey, Jeremy, if you can push the chair up a little bit.
Sure.
And you can sit with it. So, Jeremy, you've heard your daughter speaking about this and Jeremy, what are the challenges and the rewards that you can share with the parents who are thinking about fostering, praying about fostering? What are some of the things that you can encourage them and challenge them to take care of these children? Because this man's got to have a huge heart to want to do this. So I commend you.
Yeah, and I think it's single-handedly the best thing we've ever done for our family as a whole. Like, it strengthened my wife and I's relationship. It strengthened all of our kids as a unit, and it's helped them understand, you know, when they have kids that come in with struggles, that like Cambry said, it might not be what it appears. They might not be a bad kid. They just have some needs that aren't met. And I think it's helped all of us grow as people. You know, it's easy to sit back and be cynical and think, you know, oh, these parents lost their kids. They must be terrible people. I don't want anything to do with them. And the longer we've been in the system, the more, you know, God's working in us for compassion for these families and these people that are, they're going through a tough time on their own. You know, they don't need another person against them. And, you know, it's a fine line sometimes between boundaries and, you know, balancing all of that stuff. But all in all, it's been a really good growth experience for all of us. And, you know, I don't know what Cambry would say about it, but we do our best to include them all in the decisions about, you know, we have a huge family. We're always busy. You know, do you guys want to take more? And before we took these last two, we asked them all, you know, is everybody on board with another brother and sister? And, you know, not knowing what that means, does that mean a month? Does that mean a week? Does it mean forever? We don't know. And we truly leave that up to God. We just want to be whatever those kids need. And when my wife got that call, what those kids needed was a place to go because they didn't have that at that time. So we're just starting with that. And that's basically how we started 4 or 5 years ago. And it keeps working. And my wife does an amazing job of managing everything. And I think that's probably the biggest challenge. And it's not, I would say the kids aren't even the biggest challenge. It's navigating the system and knowing, you know, how to advocate for these guys to get them the services they need and get everything in place and make all the appointments and all the court dates. And, you know, my wife does a phenomenal job with all of that stuff.
Is there any parameters on discipline, Jeremy? I mean, obviously children need to be disciplined or, you know, I mean, is there any parameters on that? Is that a fair question?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's definitely limitations with that. And it doesn't just affect the foster kids. It affects the whole family, depending on your licensing agency. Okay. That's what Cambry was saying. It's whoever licenses you is responsible for, like, your interactions with the state. So some licensing agencies, you know, have very strict discipline policies. You know, spanking is one that always comes up. And for the most part, it's off the table. Like, there's very few exceptions that we've found for that. And that also affects your bio kids. So that's one of the challenges that we've had was, you know, our style of parenting and discipline before, we can't use that anymore. So how do we navigate that? You know, we don't want our kids to be able to now run amok because we can't, you know, control them or discipline them the way we want. So, you know, there's definitely some learning curves on how to navigate all of that.
So Cambry, okay, so here's something. Has there maybe one foster child that you had that was really to a point where they'd be so incorrigible it's hard to have them in the home, or are you guys
yeah. So our first placement we ever got, his name was Q, and he had very severe autism and trauma, a combination of just like a mixture of all these terrible like circumstances. And we had him for about 3 weeks, but we sadly had to disrupt him from our home because it was just too much for our family. And that was the first place that we ever had.
Yeah.
And it was
but hard. It didn't discourage you from moving forward.
You know, it didn't. I think it was really hard at the time, and we were trying to figure out like what else could we have done. And you know, at the end of the day, he needed a higher level of service and care than what we could provide. So, you know, we use that to,
as motivation.
What else can we do? We can do more. You know, we need to do more with this system. And we couldn't help him in a way. We did, because we got him, you know, we got him
services. And
I think we ended up leaving him with basically a children's mental hospital is where he ended up, just to get the kind of help that he needed.
Now, some of these fosters, is there a chance, some of the foster children, is there a chance that they, do you have an eye on looking to adopt if they allow you to adopt, or is it just?
I really don't know.
It changes a lot. And there are different.
I'm sorry, you have any adopted children?
Yeah, we do. We've adopted out of the foster care system.
Okay. So you have some so they're permanently there.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I can't look at Cambridge. So go ahead. I'm sorry, Jeremy.
No, so once they're parental rights or biological family's parental rights are severed, they become adoptable. So there are some foster families that just do community foster, which is where they're just fostering to help. And they, you know, they're not going to adopt. There are some that just do adoption, where they will only take kids who are adoptable. And we've just kind of, whatever the need is, we've just tried to meet it within, you know, there's some factors within our own family. Like, we try not to interrupt the birth order because we've learned how important that is. So,
yes,
you know, staggering the boys and the girls and making sure everything, you know, works and everything's safe. Obviously, you know, with young girls in the home, we're not going to take teenage boys. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, there's some things you can navigate, but I think there's always a way to help. And even if it's not fostering, there are foster organizations and all kinds of events that you can, you know, be a part of to help with it.
Now, most of these children, are most of these children just, the parents are just not able to take care of them, or they're just unwanted? And again, what is the reason why someone maybe be put into foster care? Is it both of those things, more of those things, or what would be the reasons for?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Go for it.
And so I think some of the reasons is the parent at the time is not able to take care of their child, whether that be they're struggling with an addiction or they're struggling with physically hurting that child. And sometimes that's
how. It could be food, it could be shelter.
Yeah. And just all these different aspects of it. But
are you privy to that background?
We get some of it. I mean, the criminal cases and stuff like that, we don't, you know, it's really, you know, none of our concern.
Right.
And I think it's important too that, like, you know, sometimes false allegations get made and kids get removed. Those kids go to the same foster care system. Yeah. If someone's wrongfully arrested, their kids are going somewhere. So, you know, it's not always a neglect or abuse situation, but I'd say that's fairly typical.
Yeah, I mean, this is, we got about 3 or 4 minutes left. This is really fascinating. And we didn't plan to have Jeremy on, but we put him right in, and that's cool. I mean, we got a father and daughter who are involved in showing the love of God to young children, and obviously missing that parental love, and it's a blessing to speak to people of that nature. You know, me and Rachel wanted to adopt, but because of my criminal background, we're not able to in Arizona. And, you know, my wife was not able to have, when we got married, she was older and stuff like that, and me too. And we really wanted to have some children. So it's bittersweet for me, but just hearing these stories is really amazing. And you can see, again, I got the picture on my refrigerator, but both of you, in the last couple of minutes, whoever wants it, whether Jeremy or Cambry, just let them know the joy of what it is to foster. And maybe you guys can take a minute each or something.
Yeah, I mean, it has brought so much joy to my heart. And I have 3 forever siblings that, one of them, she's a little girl. She's 4. 5. Man, she's 5. And, you know, she's so spicy, but I couldn't imagine.
She's so what?
Spicy. My goodness, that girl's obsessed, just like everyone else. But I could imagine just not having her as my sister. And then I have a brother, and he's going to have some different challenges throughout his life. But the other day, last year, he told me that he got saved. You know, and that to me,
oh, praise the Lord,
made the whole system worth it, because that little boy came to know Christ, you know, and just the joy of seeing stuff like that and just seeing how the Lord has worked in my own heart and seeing how the Lord has worked in these kids' hearts and just how different our family is for the better.
Jeremy, take us home. Give me a minute.
You know, it's the foster care system. It's had its challenges, but all in all, it's been a really great experience. And I think, you know, it's helped all of the kids learn, you know, to help other people selflessly, you know, to know that there might not be anything in return for doing this, but it's the right thing to do. And this is what we're going to do. And yeah, I think that helps all of them. And it's, like I said, it strengthened my wife and I's relationship. And, you know, our church has really come around us, and, you know, provided support, and that's been awesome. And it's different, you know, when we say we have 10 or 12 kids, everybody kind of, you know, looks back like, oh, you know, and the big thing is, oh, you're doing it for the money. No, it's not for the money, but it's been a phenomenal experience for us. And I would do it all over again in a heartbeat.
You hear the heart of the of father and daughter here. They are not doing it for the money. And you can just see the faces. Like I said, I wish we were on a TV or some type of tape video, but it's an honor to have both of them on. And Cambria, I'll be seeing again. And obviously I teach her in school, but we're out of time. And this is Pastor Dominic Grimaldi with Street Talk Theology. We take theology and we bring it to the streets.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.